Hi there. My name is Rory Clark, and I'm the pastor of Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. I have a question for you. Why don't you give God another chance? That's the focus of these 10-minute lessons. You can give God another chance. Why consider doing that? Well, you might want to consider doing it for several reasons. The first is that God loves you. Second is God wants a relationship with you. Third is God cares for you. Isn't that all wonderful? Well, you know, the thing that has always fascinated me as a pastor is that when I talk about how much God loves, how much God wants a relationship with, how much God cares for people, the looks on their faces is typically a look of boredom. Yeah, pastor, but why don't you get to the good part? And I'd always wonder, well, what's the good part? The part about Satan, the enemy of God. The part about sin. The part about me not following the rules. So when I start to tell people how bad they are, they seem to move to the edge of their seats. They're fascinated to hear how bad they are. They don't want to seem to hear much about how much affection God has for them. I notice the contributions to the church always seem to go up when I teach about Satan. Almost as if from guilt, people need to protect themselves by buying favor with God. Of course, you don't need to buy favor with God because he loves you just the way you are. Well, I have more bad news for you, and I'm actually going to shock you right now. God did not design you to live a sinless life. Let me repeat that. God did not design you to live a sinless life. Or said another way, and perhaps in a more understandable way, the fact that you commit personal sins is not a shock to an omniscient God who knows all the knowable. God knew every sin you would ever commit before he even created you. So while your sins may be a surprise to you, and that's all those sins that you said you would never do that you do, your sins are never a surprise to God. So let's get this straight, just in case there is someone childish among you. God does not want you to sin. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says this, "My little children, I, John, am writing these things to you so that you may not sin." God does not want you to sin. It would be God's preference that you not sin. Why? Because sin never works out. It always leads to death. But God knows that you sin. And since God considers your sinning problem to be his responsibility, he did something about your sin problem at the cross. God the Father sent his uniquely born Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to a cross to pay for every one of your sins with his blood. Does that take any pressure off of you? Your personal sins don't merit as much attention as you give them. Now, for the immature, that's like announcing a day off from school or a day off from work. Woohoo! Party! Chaos! But God has more important plans for you. God placed human beings in a state of imperfection from the moment of physical birth. Put that up, Denny. God placed human beings in a state of imperfection from the moment of physical birth. Now, King David, one of the greatest kings of all time and one of the greatest sinners of all time. You heard him of David and Goliath fame, but he had a lot more fame than that. So one of the greatest sinners of all time, one of the greatest kings of all time, knew about his own imperfection. And if you take a look at Psalm 51, verse 5, here's what it says. It says, "Behold, I, David, was brought forth," that is, born, "in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." He knew he was born in sin. Well, the Bible tells us that all people are born in sin, born in a state of condemnation. This is not our fault, but it is our circumstance. We were born in the flesh, so we were born with a part of us that is a sin manufacturing plant. You commit personal sins now, and your personal sinning is never going to stop as long as you're on planet Earth. The part of you that sins is called the flesh. Romans chapter 7, verse 18, Paul says this, "I know nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh." Have you ever noticed how something is always pulling you away from God, pulling you away from truth, and pulling you away from doing the right thing? It's the flesh. The flesh in you is antagonistic toward God, antagonistic toward you, and antagonistic toward others. It loves sinning, and it loves breaking the law. And Paul highlighted this beautifully in Romans chapter 7, verse 15. He said, "What I'm doing, I don't understand. I'm not practicing what I'd like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate." Can you relate? Romans chapter 7, verse 21. "I, Paul, find then the principle that evil is present in me, the flesh, the one who wants to do good." See, as humans, we have to get comfortable with the fact that we are going to sin as long as we're in our earthly body. Now, our friends who are religious and legalistic are quick to point out our sins as if erasing personal sinning is the essence of the Christian way of life. It is not. The essence of the Christian way of life is a relationship, a real relationship, a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the essence of this relationship is all the things that God does for us, and it is not the things that we do for him. Now, if you're a perfectionist, you're torturing yourself needlessly because you can't make yourself perfect. Let me repeat that. If you're a perfectionist, you are torturing yourself needlessly because you can't make yourself perfect. Well, how many of us spend most of our time trying to perfect our flesh, a feat that will never happen? But God demonstrated that he doesn't need us to be perfect by offering to save us when we were imperfect. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God the Father demonstrates his own unconditional love toward all mankind, and that while we were yet sinners, while we were ungodly, unrighteous, unbelievers, Christ died as a substitute for us. God demonstrated that he doesn't need us to be perfect also by selecting the Apostle Paul to write 2/3 of the New Testament. Here is what Paul said about himself in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. He said, "To me, Paul, the very least of all the saints, the least of all believers in Christ, this grace was given by God to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ." Paul was, by his own admission, the worst person who ever lived. And he was not being self-effacing. He was telling the truth. He was quite imperfect. His mission before he became a believer in Christ was to wipe out the Christian church. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2 say this, "Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, went to the high priest and asked for letters from the high priest to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he, Paul, found any people belonging to the way," that's Christians, "both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." Acts chapter 9, verses 3 to 12 detail Paul's decision to become a Christian. Can you imagine the lack of trust the apostles and the disciples of the Lord had for Paul, the murderer, when he suddenly started preaching in favor of Christ? Can you say no trust? The Lord asked Ananias, for example, to minister to Paul. Can you imagine being Ananias in that situation? Ananias in Acts chapter 9, verse 13 is thinking, "Lord, are you nuts?" And here's what he said. Ananias answered the Lord, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, Paul, how much harm he did to your saints, your believers in Christ at Jerusalem. And here, he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord made it clear, God chooses imperfect people to do his perfect work. So in Acts chapter 9, verse 15, the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and before the kings and before the sons of Israel." Imagine a guy whose sole purpose was to eliminate the Christian church being asked by God to proclaim that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Here is Acts chapter 9, verse 20. "And immediately Paul began to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ in the synagogue, saying he is the Son of God." What a tremendous reversal from saying that he was not God to saying that he is. Now, God shows us through selecting Paul, the worst person in human history, whom God made into the greatest believer of all time, exactly what he wants to do with us. God wants us to let him perfect us in our imperfect condition. First, he wants us to say yes to his salvation offer. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says this, "The Lord is not slow about his promise of salvation as some count slowness," that is, as some accuse him of. "But the Lord is patient towards you unbelievers and is not willing for any to perish in the lake of fire, but for all to come to repentance, which is a change of mind about believing in Christ." The Lord Jesus Christ wants to take us in our sinful condition from physical birth and have us simply say yes to his reconciliation offer. Acts chapter 16, verse 31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes." Why? Because God picks imperfect people to do his perfect work. So get comfortable with your imperfection. Now, if you like these short lessons, tell your friends. And please keep joining me and keep on giving God another chance. I'm Pastor Rory Clark.